Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This is Aaron Donald, and you're listening to Roster Watch. Roster Watch Nation, what is up and welcome back to the epic Roster Watch Week 17 Fantasy Football Championship Weekend Preview Show. I'm Cody Carpentier, rolling solo this weekend because Alex Dunlap is in the woods trying to fill a couple of tags. I think he's already filled one. He's working on a second one right now. We're going to jump into the Week 17 Championship Preview games for the week. We'll talk a little DFS, and as we prepare for the off season. If you need anything, go to rosterwatch.com. Remember, we aren't just a 17-week platform. We do the whole football season for you for fantasy football. We keep on doing DFS and the Hyper Props tool through the Super Bowl. We keep grinding through that, and that kind of works itself into next week, this coming week, I should say. You're going to start to see more and more rookie profiles hit the pages at rosterwatch.com. More preview shows on rosterwatch.com talking about some of these rookie prospects, whether it's Mekhi Lemon or Jeremiah Love or the quarterback class that kind of stinks. We're going to talk about all of it at rosterwatch.com through the spring offseason. And then we're going to get into the NFL draft. NFL mock drafts are up on the website already. But everything over there this week, week 18, the two big weeks for DFS and for your fantasy football championships is over at rosterwatch.com. Whether you're looking for the ultimate matchup tool, whether you're looking for DFS cheat sheets, they're going to be up later today, Saturday, December 27th, when I'm recording this. Whether you need the snaps, targets, and touches tool, the Vegas tool, whatever it is that you need, go over to rosterwatch.com, become a pro or a premium member today as we go into the offseason, because that's when we really appreciate y'all's support, even though I know people are like, well, you know, I'm going to cut my membership. It's like, no. When you're at Roster Watch 365 days a year, you got to stay locked in because you can – I mean, it's like getting your daily newspaper, right? You don't just quit getting the newspaper. Well, I mean, it's 2025, so not everyone gets the newspaper, but you don't turn off your newspaper, your subscription. You keep that thing going all year because you never know what kind of information is going to come across your table, and that's what we try to help you do every single day, every single week, every single month at rosterwatch.com. Friends, I really appreciate you jumping in here and telling me I was muted, because that would have been fantastic to record for 40 minutes and have it be a wash. I've done it. It's been many years since I went a whole show and muted myself, but we've done it before. Gerald, tough tight end situation this week. He says, yes, it is. We're going to get down to it. We're going to start with that first game, the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Cleveland Browns today. Speaking of the tight end situation, first and foremost, David Njoku out in this game. Harold Fannin had a little boo-boo. He's a questionable. He says he's going to play, so that's kind of all that really matters in that game. As far as that goes, we do have games, I want to say, on the Saturday. I'm not going to talk about the Houston game, the Chargers. I'm not going to talk about Baltimore, Green Bay, unless there's questions in the chat about those specific games. I'll answer questions, but I'm really focused on the Sunday slate, the Sunday main slate. Pittsburgh at Cleveland, like I said, 78% of the tickets are on the Pittsburgh Steelers -3, and 78% of the money also on the Pittsburgh Steelers -3. The total in this game, get this, at Cleveland, 34 is the total in Cleveland this weekend. The weather in Cleveland on Sunday, which is bizarre because it's a noon kick in Cleveland. The weather, 48. The problem, 16-mile-an-hour winds. You're starting to get up to that range. I believe that the big kicker that they always say is 18-mile-an-hour gusts. That's the number that you start to look at. You go, okay, we're starting to worry a little bit. But tomorrow, the average wind is supposed to be around that 16-17-mile-an-hour marker for the Cleveland and Pittsburgh game. Should be all right. I anticipate it being fine. The precipitation at high noon is 75% chance of rain, down to 40%, up to 75%. So it could be a wet slog there in that Pittsburgh and Cleveland game. Two teams that we know can run the football. That number's kind of floated around 33.5, 34.5 as a total. And that the number stayed at -3 for Pittsburgh throughout. So it wouldn't shock you if this thing ended up being like literally a 10-7, 13-7 type of a football game. Calvin Austin's also out in this game at wide receiver for Pittsburgh. DK Metcalf, of course, suspended. If you haven't seen it, you should go see the Detroit fan held a press conference on Twitter this last week. At the running back position for Cleveland, I think this is very interesting. Judkins obviously broke his leg last week, and Dylan Sampson was double limited through the week. Expected to play is Dylan Sampson, but I'm not sure what this is going to really look like. I have interest. There's no Ford. There's no Judkins, like I said. And you're kind of looking at a situation where Sampson's been limited this week. I'll pull up all the other running backs. Raheem Sanders, who got like 12 carries last week. He had 30% of the snaps, 41% of the carries. Travion Williams, though, from Texas A&M, what is he, 20? He was 28. 2019 maybe was that draft class. He had 30% of the snaps last week without Sampson. So it's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be a Sanders, Sampson, Williams kind of trifecta in this backfield. I don't think they feel good about just kind of pushing one of these guys into a Judkins type of a role. So if I was going to angle at anybody in fantasy in this slog, it would be Raheem Rocket Sanders, the rookie from South Carolina, to get, you know, 14 to 18 of the carries in this backfield. He's a big 230-pound brute in that backfield. Everything else on the Cleveland offense, I think Fannin's my most, the piece that you maybe want to depend on the most. He suffered a groin injury at practice on Friday. Still says he's going to play. I'll be interested, like I said, to kind of see how that thing unrolls. He's been tight end four over the last 4 weeks, averaging 17.1 points per game. On the Pittsburgh side, Kenny Gainwell, interestingly enough, is the last 3 weeks he's been undeniable. He's been averaging almost 20 points per game the last 3 weeks. He's running back 7 overall in the sport. Isaiah Bond, interesting nugget here. His highest route share game came in week 6 against Pittsburgh. Now, with the weather, with the rain, with the wind, that does not profile well for a Bond type of a situation. It profiles best for both teams running the football, Harold Fannin getting some buzz, even maybe potentially a little bit of Judy. But again, we don't trust Judy in these streets. We just don't. It's been, 16 weeks, and he's had 2 games over 10 fantasy points. You don't trust it. I can't expect anything of it. I don't want to believe in it. Calvin Austin, like I said, was out in this game. I expect MVS to ramp up a little bit with the DK Metcalf stuff being out. That's a little more wishy-washy. He has a connection, obviously, with Aaron Rodgers. He hasn't done a ton with it this year. But I think the bigger angle for me would be towards like an Adam Thielen. This feels like a situation where, again, I'm not telling you to go do this. I'm telling you from my own experience, though. This week, I had my brother. He's like, who should I play in this flex spot? I said, he shows me the roster. It's Jerry Jeudy in the flex. And I said, get him out of the flex now. Like, and I go look at the waiver wire, and he's like, well, what am I going to add? It's like Parker Washington's at the top. It's like, I think that's a home run. But, if you're in some of these deeper leagues and you've had some guys go down, like you've had Odunze go down, and, you had Metcalf go out. And there's people in situations that you have no idea how they could possibly get the championship or even a third place game where it's like, I'm just trying to get some money. It matters, right? If Thielen could be a guy, you look at no Calvin Austin, there's no Metcalf, these tight ends are mild, Jonnu Smith hasn't been it, Pat Freiermuth hasn't been it. They go out and get Thielen. I don't know. I think they're going to run the hell out of the football here, but I'm just saying I think Thielen is a quiet, solid 6 to 8 point floor with touchdown upside in that offense, and he's a guy that's going to stay near the line of scrimmage. So I don't mind Thielen in that game. Couple of questions we'll get to right quick. Gerald has a question about George Kittle. Have Juwan Johnson and Loveland as backups, late game issue. If you have Juwan Johnson, so Juwan Johnson's playing. I read that as Juwan Jennings. You have Juwan Johnson who plays at 1 o'clock on Sunday, and you have Colston Loveland who plays on Sunday night with that same game. That's interesting. So I would say this. My first instinct would be to wait until Sunday night football and hope that by Sunday night football you get a little bit of clarity. So Juwan Johnson is our tight end 10 on the week. Colston Loveland's tight end 12 on the week. Kittle's tight end 2. So if Kittle plays, which he has, and he's been DNPs all week, you're obviously going to want to play Kittle. I think you hold it right down to game time, and then you just, if Kittle's in, you're in. If you're not, you play Loveland. I'm willing to give up a little bit on the Juwan Johnson thing, where I think I might be forfeiting a couple of points, but those couple of points are worth me waiting, I think, to see if I can get Kittle, because that could be the difference. You play Juwan Johnson, Kittle plays. Kittle does Kittle things, catches 2 touchdowns on Sunday Night Football in a game that would help San Francisco become the number one seed. You're going to be pissed, and you might lose over it. So I would hold off. There's no Adunze in that Chicago offense, so I do think there's going to be plenty of targets to go around. But I would hold off and then potentially pivot to Colston Loveland. That's why you got him there, so I like that. Jelly of the month is Stafford or Lawrence, 6 point per passing touchdown. Well, Stafford is our overall QB1 on the week. Trashman's not as big of a fan as Alex, myself, or the projection tool, but we do have Stafford as the overall uno. Trevor Lawrence is quarterback 7. Bombas Walks says, I assume even with a full practice Q tag for Henderson is still the play over Woody Marks today. He got a full in, was it yesterday or the days kind of meshed together with some of these Saturday games. Did he get a full in on Friday? Let me double check. Where is Henderson? Henderson got a full in. Yeah. He got a full in on Friday with the concussion. The red jersey on. Did not have the red jersey on. I had a note on Henderson, though, as we're going to get down to that game tomorrow. I think that split, I mean, I'm going to talk about it here in a little bit, but I think that split's going to be something like a 65-40. The split the last couple of weeks hasn't been as favorable for him. So him versus Woody Marks, I think I'm still going to roll with probably Henderson. I think it's really close, though. As far as our rankings go, Henderson versus Marks. Let's see here. It's tight. Yeah, it's tight. Henderson's got the number one matchup. The problem is I think they're going to crush New York. Woody Marks has the 25th matchup against the Chargers. Chubb's going to be playing. I think I'm still rolling with Henderson. There's just too much upside there. When he plays, it doesn't take him, 50% of the snaps to get his number. So Bamaswag, I'm riding with Henderson. LFG, Rocket was a stud Arkansas until he gets too big. Yeah, 100%. Taysom, Parker, Shakir, Pittman for the second flex. Taysom, Parker. I'm not playing Taysom. I'm not playing Shakir. It's Parker or Pittman for me, and I think I'm going to lean. Let's see here. Where is Pittman's 26? Parker Washington's 32. Is that consensus? Gosh, I'm high on both those guys. Nobody else is. Interesting. Yeah, we're going to go Pittman. Woody Dowdle and Michael Carter. I don't think you spelled a single name right there, Mike, but I appreciate it. Carter is, I think, going to be running back 28. Dowdle's 25. And the third one was Dowdle. Dowdle, I think, is going to have him beat. Let me look here. Dowdle's 2 spots higher than Michael Carter. And then Woody's going to be below those guys. So, yeah, it's Dowdle this week for us. Best of luck. Michael. Thanks. Gerald says, wide receiver 2 and 3 need Diggs, Godwin, and Watson. I'm playing Diggs and Godwin this week. Injuries in New England. I think Godwin's going to be good to go, and Watson has no love. So I'm going to go Diggs and Godwin. Best ball. Shout out to Roster Watch following you guys. This year helped me with a big board team to the finals. Let's go. Congratulations, best ball on call. All right. Really do appreciate that. That's a great – a big board team to the finals. Best of luck, brother. Jacksonville at the Jaguars. This is a big one for AFC South supremacy, I guess you'd say, in Week 17. There's a couple of big games that kind of have Week 18 things, I don't know how do I say that, implications, not really implications, but the Colts per se are pretty much out if they lose here. If they lose, they're done. They're fighting to stay in the conversation. Houston needs, if Houston wins, Indianapolis is out. Indianapolis just needs to win this game, though. I mean, they've been on a complete spiral downhill since the bye week. I mean, they started the season off, 8-2? And now they're sitting at 8-7. Kansas City, Houston, Jacksonville, Seattle, San Fran. They just played Jacksonville 2 weeks ago and got killed down in Duval. Wasn't a great showing. Jacksonville's a 6-point road favorite in this football game in Indianapolis. Numbers came down to 5.5. 77% of the bets are on Jacksonville, 85% of the money. The total is 48.5. That thing sat right around that number. The Jacksonville interior offensive line has been completely banged up all week when you look at the injury report. I think majority of them are going to play Robert Haynes. He got limited on Friday. He was playing with a groin injury, did not practice on Wednesday and Thursday. Their guards, Ezra Cleveland, was limited all week. He looks like he's going to play. Patrick McCarry, the other guard, is out with a back injury. He's DNPs across the board. So they've been banged up the middle. They got one guy playing. They got one guy 50-50, and they got one guy out. So we'll see what that interior looks like. But the opposite side for Indianapolis, they were going to get DeForest Buckner back this week. But DeForest Buckner, I think they said he's going to end up having season-ending neck surgery. So that would have been kind of the shift there would have been. You get DeForest Buckner back, Jacksonville's got a banged-up middle, and you can kind of take advantage and slow the run game down. But not going to be the play here. Bashal Tootin's been limited all week. He looks questionable in this game. Of course, the next guy up after him would be LaQuint Allen. He's questionable, though, with a finger. So I anticipate the finger's probably going to be wrapped up and he's going to be good. Trevor Lawrence has been QB1 overall since week 10. This is literally the best Trevor Lawrence that we've seen in his life. I had this note written down from earlier in the week. This is the first time in his career that he's had four consecutive games with a 100 or better passer rating per NFL Sports Reference or Pro Football Reference. I looked this one up. It was his career start number 74, 75, 76, and 77, playoffs included. And he's had over 100 passer rating in all four of those games, Denver, Indy, Jets, and Tennessee in that stretch. Notable top 10 quarterbacks with similar situations. How long did it take some of these other quarterbacks to get four consecutive? This is just like a lot of guys had two consecutive or three consecutive, but four consecutive, it's not a big list, to be honest with you. Some of the guys that have not even done it yet, Jaden Daniels through 24 starts hasn't had four consecutive. Caleb Williams through 32 starts has not. Bryce Young through 44, Stroud through 48. Justin Herbert has not had four consecutive 100-plus passer rating games through 96 career starts. Baker Mayfield has not through 125 career starts. Pat Mahomes did it in his seventh career start, 7, 8, 9, 10. Drake May, 14, 15, 16, 17. Tua, 15. Burrow, 23, 24, 25, 26. Stafford, it took 26 games. Josh Allen and Jared Goff took 29. Kyler, 36. Similar to Trevor Lawrence, Sam Darnold took 67 games before he had four consecutive. Trevor Lawrence, 74, and Daniel Jones, 76. Just a random nugget there. Like, this is the, you know, there's a lot of question whether Trevor Lawrence sucked or was a bust or what this thing. He's firing. All it took was Liam Cohen, right? He went through the Urban Meyer stuff. Like, it's been bad the last couple of years. And Liam Cohen seems to have gotten through. The pass completion percentage hasn't been fantastic, but you look at the last 3 weeks, he's got 12 touchdowns, no picks. And he's thrown for 330 yards, 280, 229, 244, and they're winning football games. And they're playing really good offense with, honestly, not really even taking advantage of the fact that you drafted Travis Hunter. And Brian Thomas hasn't been that fantastic. And he's still been slinging the football to guys like ETN and Strange and P-Dub, our boy Parker Washington. If you're a real Roster Watch Nation savant, you remember the conversations with Parker Washington. The Jags, if you're interested in a defense this week, I think the Jags are an interesting defense. They've been DST2 since week 13. They get Rivers this week. I think they're going to get after him. I love Rivers, but I mean, it's a fun story, but they're going to get eliminated this week. It's just the way it is. BTJ, I just talked about him. His home road splits have not been great this year. 16.9 points per game at home, 12.4 on the road. We talked about this, taking advantage of him in the prop game at home. hitting 55 or more yards. And I think it was 14 out of 16 home games the last 2 years. His home road splits this year, 2 touchdowns at home, 0 on the road, 420 yards at home, 199 on the road. Again, these are game, these total games are even splits right now so far going into this one. He just hasn't been great on the road. And this one's going to be in Indianapolis. As far as fantasy points goes, you know, for this wide receiver room in Jacksonville, nothing has really been consistent outside of Jacoby Myers the last 4 weeks, right? Week 13, he gets there. He's the leading scorer on this wide receiver room against Indianapolis in week 14. He's there again. Tim Patrick also scored more than 14 fantasy points in that game. Week 15, Myers is starting. Myers is there the last all 4 weeks, right? Thomas is playing. Washington and Patrick have kind of been in and out of the lineup. And now you look at week 17 with all four of these guys. It's an interesting dynamic where I tend to lean towards Patrick. I tend to lean towards Parker Washington in that Jacksonville offense outside of ETN, who's been just weird. We talked about this last week. Just like his season, he's been good, but he's just been so weird as far as how the success has come to fruition. Speaking of weird end of season, Tyler Warren hasn't caught more than 3 footballs since November 23rd, 6 catches for 39 yards. On 15 targets with Rivers. So almost unplayable for Tyler Warren, basically at this point. Like, he was a guy that when you're building your rankings on a weekly basis, he's like, plug him in top three every week with, you know, McBride and Bowers. And Bowers and Warren have kind of cooled off a little bit. Warren is now down to overall tight end 9 on the week, kind of in that Goddard, Juwan Johnson kind of conversation. Jelly of the Month just asked a question. He says, Loveland or Strange? You brought it up. I mean, they're literally not that far apart, kind of in the same category with Warren, but Strange is at tight end 7. Loveland's down at tight end 12. So appreciate the question. The person that's been getting the targets since Phillip Rivers, we talked about it. It was going to be Josh Downs. Most targets and yards in week 16 from Rivers. That's Josh Downs has been the guy the last couple of weeks under Phillip Rivers. So I'm going to continue to trust that, believe in that. He's weirdly, you know, the red zone targets have gotten there to Alec Pierce. He caught a touchdown last week. He looks good. Pittman looks all right. But again, it's like they're going to run the football with Jonathan Taylor. They're going to try to get the football into Josh Downs' hands. And I worry how much gas they got left in this tank with Phillip Rivers. I'm not worried about his energy per se. I'm more worried about what this team has left. Like, they're, you got to think about this, man. They went 8-2 out of a bye. You go to Arrowhead, get beat a tight game, host Houston in a massive game. You get beat at home, go to Duval, get whipped. You go to Seattle, lose a tight one. And then you come back home this last week and just, you're like, all right, we got the Niners at home Monday night, and you get walked. And now it's like, you must beat Jacksonville at home. You must beat Houston in Houston. And Houston also must lose to the Chargers this week for you to have a spitting chance. There's a good chance this whole regime might get kind of upended. I don't know. I think they might get one more year, but they've been getting one more year for the last 3 years. So we'll see what kind of happens right there. Like I said, Josh Downs, 9 targets last week, caught 5 for 65. Jonathan Taylor's a guaranteed, you know, he's a must play every single week at this point. The next game is Tampa at Miami, the Florida State championship per se, or Florida State runner-up because Jacksonville's the state champion. Tampa Bay, -5.5 on the road at Miami, 66% of the tickets, 66% of the cash, and the total is sitting at 44.5 of the lean towards the under. The injuries in this game, Tristan Wirfs is out. Darren Waller was the DNP for a couple days this week, but got in limited towards the end of the week, so we're going to be good with him. D. Eskridge, who's unplayable, is doubtful with a toe injury to play this week. Waddle was on the report, but got full Zinn all week, so I don't really worry about Jalen Waddle and his 38% target share from Quinn Ewers. I feel pretty good about that. Tristan Wirfs, like I said, is out. Still got Kalijah Kancey on IR. He's coming back from a pec injury. Got some limiteds in this week. The bigger note here would be just that Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, who, you know, have been banged up all year, it seems like we're getting to a point where they're playing their best ball. And Tampa needs them. And you look at the last couple of weeks with Mike Evans, 16.5 points per game for Mike Evans since he returned in week 15. Godwin and Evans feel like they're as healthy as they're going to be this year. They both had vet rest on Thursday. Mike Evans wasn't on the report on Wednesday. Godwin was limited. They both got, like I said, DNP vet rest on Thursday, and then they were both full on Friday. So Igbuka's regressed a little bit as far as his just overall output in this offense, and I think that's going to continue to happen as we go into Week 17 with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are in a must-win situation. They must beat Miami. Now, Carolina's not as much. I mean, if they lose to Seattle, they're going to lose to Seattle. If they beat Seattle, they're going to all but clinch this champ. I think they're going to actually clinch the division. The problem is, if Seattle beats Carolina, which again is a Sam Darnold traveling back to Carolina situation. If they beat Seattle, they're going to clinch the division. If they lose and Tampa beats Miami, it's going to be a NFC South division championship game in Tampa in week 18. That's big. And so, like, Tampa knows that. I think Carolina does too, but Tampa must win this football game. Godwin's as healthy as he's going to be. Evans is as healthy as he's going to be. I think both these guys are raging plays in week 17 from a fantasy football perspective. Igbuka is more fringe for me. He's more of like a back end three, maybe wide receiver four kind of flex situation in week 17, because I just trust more into Godwin and Evans, and I think that's what Baker's going to do as well. Interestingly, Bucky Irving, now that we have a little bit of a sample size since he's come back from his injury, hasn't been great post-injury. His pass-catching chops are almost gone. Like, so the four games since he's been back from injury, 8 targets, 5 catches. The four games before he got hurt, again, 4 game sample size, the same thing. 8 targets, 5 catches since. And then before, which is earlier in the year, 19 targets, 19 catches. So the upside's pretty much been zapped out of the Bucky Irving upside down there in Tampa Bay. So right now we got him in at running back 15 overall. It's a good matchup, but you just can't press him up into the Barkley category or the Jonathan Taylor James Cook conversation like we did earlier in the year, because it's just not getting you there in the receiving game, and I don't think it's going to happen this week in Miami either. On the Miami side, of course, we're going to ramp up Devon Achane. Love that. Jalen Waddle's the other one. We're playing some Waller stuff in the props again this week like we had the last couple of weeks, but Jalen Waddle, 35% target share 3 times this year. 31% was the next highest on the season. He did that last week with Quinn Ewers. I think I said 38% a minute ago, but I meant 31%. Other ancillary pieces in this game I don't really care to play at. I'm not going to push in Kate Otten in any situations. I'm not playing Malik Washington, things of that nature. I'm kind of out on all of that. Next game is the New England Patriots at the New York Jets. We got a couple of injuries in this one that are most important to talk about. We'll get to them, but the number in this game is 13.5. This is going to be the biggest home dog of the year, is the Jets at home against the New England Patriots. The number is 13.5 right now at DraftKings. 77% of the bets and 73% of the money, both on the Patriots. The total in this game is 43, with a lean towards the under, 60% of the money. The weather up in New Jersey this weekend is going to look, let's see how different it is than Cleveland. 40, so this game's at 1 o'clock kickoff. This game looks like it's going to be about 34 degrees, 10% chance of rain, and no wind. So, I mean, it's brisk. This is beautiful football. This is literally beautiful football weather. I mean, the sun's going to be shining in this thing. Kayshon Boutte is out. Mac Hollins is out. DeMario Douglas, hamstring limited all week with that situation. Trayvon Henderson, we talked about earlier, dealing with a concussion. He's coming back. Got a full practice set on Friday. Did not wear the red jersey. Looks like he's going to play. As far as the Stevenson-Henderson split, like the last couple of weeks, it's been 67% for Stevenson, 83% for Stevenson, 49% for Henderson, 18% for Henderson, who went down with an injury and totally cucked me out of a championship trip for a couple of leagues. 68% of the routes per game for Stevenson the last 2 weeks. Like, you got to remember how painful it was early this year being a Travion Henderson owner because of how much Mike Vrabel wanted to play Ramondre Stevenson, and Josh McDaniels, I guess, can take some blame for it too. But like, finally, Henderson came through and he was him, and then he got hurt now. And I'm a little worried not even because Henderson got hurt, but because Stevenson got hurt and then came back and now he's got this role. that is almost the same, if not a little bit better. And he's been scoring fantasy points in it. Henderson's still been good. I think Henderson's still playable. That's why I answered the questions earlier like I did. I anticipate something like a 65-40 split. They've been playing plus 100 in overall snaps. They've been playing together a little bit. So it's going to be, you know, odd number. Like I said before, it was 67-49 a couple of weeks ago. So I think this thing is going to be something like Stevenson plays 60 to 70%. And I think Henderson's going to probably get in on 40%-ish, somewhere around in there. Both playable. As far as who I prefer, I think I still lean Henderson. Let me check and double check where my ranks were on Stevenson. Stevenson came in at running back 12. Yeah, Henderson's a little bit lower than that. I still play Henderson right in that Dowdle area. Not sure I'd quite play him over Jalen Warren, but maybe. I mean, he's kind of in a similar spot dealing with Kenny Gainwell right now. I appreciate you guys dropping the questions in the chat. I'll answer them here in a minute after I get done with this New England and New York game. Kyle Williams, I think, is going to be the beneficiary of no Butte. We love Butte, but there's no Butte in this game. Mac Hollins and DeMario being limited with the hamstring injuries. Kyle Williams has scored 10 or more points again, second time in 3 weeks. Not enough routes to depend on Williams generally, but now with the injuries to Mac, Butte and DeMario being questionable, I think you can all but fire up Kyle Williams in every format. I feel very confident in Kyle Williams in every format this week. So I'm going to go ahead and plug that in. I think that that's going to be a guy. It's the Jets too. It's not like we're playing against the Niners or we're not playing against the Bills. Like, this is the Jets. I think we're going to get a grip of Kyle Williams in this week. And I know we're looking at like week 18 situations where week 18 DFS is fun and all. I think week 17, Kyle Williams against the Jets might just be, you know, one of my plays of the week as far as this whole slate goes. On the Jets side, Mason Taylor's out in this game, the tight end, the great rookie tight end. Adonai Mitchell kind of is the receiver here. John Matchie's been getting some run. Stone Smart, tight end, who was the Chargers for a couple of years, got a 16% target share this last week. If, you know, Taylor's out, I think Stone Smart's interesting. I'm not saying I'm going to shove him in everywhere, but it's interesting just because targets got to go somewhere, and he had a 16% target share last week. Isaiah Davis has been scoring the fantasy points out of this backfield, even though Breece Hall has been out snapping him. I'll be interested to see what happens if this game gets up 21-0 early, if Isaiah Davis doesn't end up this game with, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 targets in this game out of the backfield, just kind of playing in mop-up, you know, comeback duty. All right, we'll get into the next game here in a minute, but I see quite a few questions in the chat. If you got any questions, dump them. We'll answer a group of them at a time.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Thoughts on Taysom says eat powder. I have thoughts. I'm going to talk about them here in just a minute with this New Orleans-Tennessee game. I can't trust Ibuka anymore. My options are Parker, Pearsall, DK. I know not pretty, or do just take my chance with Ibuka. Also Saints or Rams defense. I'd play Parker, Washington, Mr. Mike. And you said Saints or Rams defense. Saints or Rams defense. Let me think here. I don't think I want to play the Rams. Saints, probably feel best about the Saints this week. I don't really want to play the Rams on Monday Night Football. You can if you want, but I would rather play the Saints. BTJ has to be due. He's been due a couple of times. He's paid off a little bit. I'm not sure if he's – you might be right. I mean, it's indoor game. Could be right. Maybe. Maybe. I'm not going to bet on it. Loveland or Strange, kind of similar to the question I answered earlier. I mean, that situation had Kittle in front of it, but one for one, Kittle or Strange, I'm going to go – or not Kittle – Loveland or Strange, I'm going Strange. We have about four spots higher in the rankings. Warren had 9 targets last week. Yes. And he caught 3 footballs. Like I said, my stat wasn't wrong. I don't know what you want me to say. 6 for 39 on 15 targets with Rivers the last 2 weeks. That's my point. Jonathan Taylor or Chase Brown. I'm going Jonathan Taylor. We have Chase Brown in the top 10, but not in the top 5 where we have JT. Corum or Carter, I'm playing Corum. Corum's been a mother. He's been a mother like the last month and a half. So I'm just going to keep playing Corum. I like the matchup against the Falcons. Mike Evans incoming? Yes. Mike Evans needs a couple 350 spots for 1K. If anyone can, Big Mike can. Yeah, what is his number at? Because he's not going to get there, but oof, 303. So he literally needs 349 in each game. Hey, if anybody could do it, it's Mike Evans. That would be awesome for week 18. Let's go. Soggy Danger, appreciate you, brother. Cody, bro, I need your advice. Peter Pimp, what's up, dog? Matt Cassidy, oh, Henderson's going to play, so would you start him over Breece? Any chance Breece is trying to showcase? I don't think Breece is going to get to showcase shit against the New England Patriots, just to be square. Where do you have Breece? Breece is running back 19 this week in a brutal matchup, and I kind of don't want him to have him that high. I kind of want to move him behind Swift, kind of want to move him behind Amarian. I think I might do just that. Is Ramondre startable if Travion plays 100%? 100%. It's the number one matchup. So number one matchup on the RosterWatch matchup tool this week against the New York Jets. And like I said, Ramondre has been getting a grip of the duty in this backfield. So I 100%. I think Ramondre, not only is he playable, but he's like a preferred option in a lot of situations. If you got him, you must play Ramondre this week. Burden or Devonta, Tongas, Schultz, or Strange? So this is a two-parter, I think, right? I'm going to go Strange first off. Strange and Schultz are tight for me, but I got like Strange by a couple of spots. Schultz is a brutal matchup. Strange, not so much. Burden and Devonta Smith is an interesting one. This kind of would be the perfect game for a Burden. Let me look and see where we got him. So we got Burden. That's way too low for Burden. We got to bump Burden up. And Smith. Because we got DJ at wide receiver 24, Devonta at wide receiver 27. I think I like Burden. You know, I'm going to move Burden. I'm going to put Burden right here, right ahead of Devonta. Let me do this right now. Bad radio. Don't care. Doing it right live. Doing it live. All right. Devonta is now going to be 29. Burden's going to be 28. There we go. We're locked in, Tyler Perry. Burden and Strange. Can we trust Josh Jacobs this week, or should I start Corum or Charbonnet or Carter over him? I don't know. I don't know, because like the Vikings clinched the NFC playoffs for Green Bay. I don't really know how much I want to trust Josh Jacobs. He's been limited all week. I don't think Emmanuel Wilson was on the – yeah, man. If I'm Green Bay, I'm just going to – I would push out Emmanuel Wilson. It's not a must-win game for you. You're in. There's really nowhere for you to grow. I think they're locked into the 7th spot no matter what. Yeah, they can't go up or down. They're kind of just locked in. So I think they're going to – Love's not going to play this week or next week. I wouldn't play, you know, I'd play all these guys that they're banged up. I would like the whole, I'm beating around the bush here. The whole team's banged up. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22 guys on the injury report for Green Bay. Fantasy conversation, Savion Williams, Dontavian Wicks, Christian Watson, Bo Melton, Romeo Doubs, Josh Jacobs, Jordan Love, Malik Will, like Josh White. The whole freaking team is banged up and they made the playoffs. So I wouldn't, I mean, it's tough for me to say, oh yeah, I trust Josh Jacobs. They're going to go out there and give him 20 touches and he's going to, you know, bang around for 85 yards and a touchdown. Like, no, I think honestly, I'd rather play with Corum, who isn't the starting running back in that situation and is going to get carries because they're going to be, you know, they're fighting for number one seed. So I would go Corum today, friends. So we roll with Hendo. Thanks, Cody. Matt Cassidy. Yes, sir. Tyler Sperry, Kittle hasn't been ruled out. Strange is kind of streaky. For sure. I mean, that was I don't know what you want me to say. You asked about Tongas. You didn't ask about Strange. I'm not playing Tongas. If anything, in that game, I'd love Juwan Jennings. I think Christian McCaffrey is going to be a beneficiary like he always is if there's no Kittle, something like that. Need to flex out of Pitts, Burden, Sampson, and Woody. Not playing Sampson. Don't feel great about Woody. I like Pitts and Burden. I got London just a reminder. I like Pitts and Burden. Pitts is like – in a normal year, which there's never a normal year at tight end, Pitts could be tight end one. He's tight end two right now in the sport. Curious your McBride take. Well, it's a good thing you asked, Matt Cassidy, because we're going to get to it in about 6 minutes. So hold tight. New Orleans at Tennessee, the next game we'll get to right now at Roster Watch. We appreciate you guys for tapping in, locking every single day. Click that like button. I'm waiting. Click it, please. New Orleans at Tennessee. New Orleans is 2.5-point favorite, 52% of the money, 52% of the bets, 59% of the money. The total in this game is 39.5 with heavy money on the over in that game for New Orleans at Tennessee. I like it. I like that. Foster Moreau's out. Kamara's out. Mason Tipton's been limited all week. Olave's been full, got limited in on Friday with a back injury. Think he'll be fine. He's been strong the last 6 weeks. He's been wide receiver 5 in the sport behind Puka, JSN, Pickens, Michael Wilson. It's been Chris Olave as the wide receiver 5 since week 10. How that works? Tyler Shook, who Todd McShay did a redraft of the 2025 NFL draft, put Tyler Shook 101. 101 for Tyler Shook to the Tennessee Titans. He's been QB9 since week 13 in fantasy football. On the other side, on the New Orleans side, the backfield is going to be some combination of Taysom Hill, Audric Estime, Evan Hull. My Taysom thought, which someone asked earlier in the chat for, where did it go? Who asked it? I got it right here. Eat Powder said, thoughts on Taysom. My thoughts on Taysom is, I think this dude's probably, he had a weird kind of interview, press conference. He didn't have a press conference. It was more of like a post-game interview when he was asked about playing his last game in New Orleans last week against the Jets. I thought that was kind of interesting because it was like a weird vibe, as if he's going to retire or just walk. Like, I don't think he's a high-dollar guy. I know he had that cockamamie contract a couple years ago, but it's like, how can he expect that much in the market from anybody at that age, let alone like, oh, I'm not going to come back to New Orleans because I'm not going to take the vet min or something. Like, dude, take the vet min. You don't do anything. You're a special teams guy that, you know, runs the ball, catches the ball. Like, you're a Swiss Army knife. I get it. But, like, let's not act like you're Alvin Kamara or Christian McCaffrey. So, I don't know. Interestingly enough, I think he's going to get enough work in this offense. I think he's going to be a play in week 17 in perspective. Like, last week he had 6 targets, threw a touchdown, ran the ball 12 times. He was the leading carrier in the backfield. I think they should give Estime and Evan Hull opportunities because, let's face it, Alvin Kamara is not long for New Orleans. Neither is Taysom Hill. And you kind of got to know what those two guys are. Unless you're just content with knowing that they are average Jags, like, nobody's ever really seen Evan Hull get a full workload. Nobody's ever really seen Audric Estime get a full workload. So it'd be cool to see it. But have we ever trusted New Orleans to do something like that? No. So it's probably just going to be Taysom getting the bulk of this workload in this backfield. He's going to be a 12 to 18, 20 fantasy point type of a guy with a good floor week 17 and always carrying the upside to have a maniacal ceiling if he ends up with 3 touchdowns or something like that. On the New Orleans side, though, that's kind of the only play I like is Olave, like Juwan Johnson. Shook's been playing great. Taysom Hill's playable. as a flex in most situations. The Tennessee side, people are playing DK. If you get those special team return yard points, you have to play DK, I think, as a deep flex option. Consider him. You don't have to play him. You consider him. And then Pollard, who's been running back 9 over the last 3 weeks as well. But I'm not really a big fan of that game. I think that game does go over. Could be a sleeper situation as far as upside goes in scoring for DFS. Gunnar Helm got limited in for the week as well. Arizona at Cincinnati. Cincinnati 7-point home favorite against Arizona. 66% of the bets and 69% of the money. The total in this game is 53.5. Again, this game is also a 1 o'clock kick. Remember, we opened up talking about Cleveland. So the Cleveland weather is obviously a little bit different than the Cincinnati weather. But the Cincinnati game, the total is 53.5. Again, similar, but the wind is 6 miles an hour instead of 17 miles an hour, just to kind of give you an idea for what that looks like. 10 miles an hour. That's what it looks like. It's not, I mean, it's still a little bit in that ballpark. 66 degrees though at kickoff for that game with no rain, 20% chance of rain. And that's the difference between a 34-point total and a 54-point total, is 5 mile an hour in wind and a 50% chance of rain, 50% plus chance of rain in that game. For Arizona, Buda Baker is out. The safety, Paris Campbell, man, the dreams I've had about Paris Campbell having success in the NFL. Paris Johnson, DNPs this week. Sweat, DNPs. Marv, still limited with the heel. Probably going to play. Probably shouldn't, if we're really being honest with ourselves. And then the Cincinnati side, Noah Fant, they get a full practice in on Friday. Week 16 was the first time all season since Jacoby Brissett took over at quarterback for Arizona. So that was since week 6. The first time he hasn't been into the top 13 in fantasy points scored in a single game all year. He's been QB8 since he took over in week 6. And he's had more than 15 fantasy points, more than 17.1 fantasy points in every single game except for last week against the Falcons, which should have been the shootout of all shootouts this year. Carter's playable in this game. Of course, Michael Wilson, you're going to run up with that. And then, again, we have to talk about this. The tight end situation against Cincinnati all year has been incredible. Kind of up until the last couple of weeks, Cincinnati's been pretty solid the last 3 weeks against tight ends. Baltimore, they've pretty much locked up. Last week, Darren Waller was 3 for 40. Greg Dulcich was 3 for 46. But this is the week. This is the week. I mean, there was comments this week made by Trey McBride. Let me look it up, see if I can find it here. He said he was mad at himself more than anything this last week for his performance, and that he wanted to bounce back this week in Cincinnati because he was upset with his performance against the Atlanta Falcons. And that performance was 4 for 27 on 8 targets. His counterpart, Elijah Higgins, went 7 for 91 on 8 targets. Let's just put it this way. I named the show title after Trey McBride. Trey McBride and beyond. Like that's. I think Trey McBride is going to feast this week. I may or may not have put in a Red Devil prop sheet on Prize Picks where I put in the printing press, which is Devon Achane, first quarter rushing yards. But then I put in Trey McBride, 9.5 receptions, Trey McBride, 99.5 yards, and Trey McBride to score a touchdown. Might have done it. I might have used my Flex Friday on it. I might have got like 17.6x on that sheet. So, yeah, I'm pretty much more than all in pushing the chips in on Trey McBride having a maniacal week in Cincinnati and Jacoby Myers. Jacoby Brissett bouncing back. Feel good about Trey McBride. In Cincinnati, I think you just play your guys. Play the guys you know you can trust. Play the guys that have gotten you to this point in the season, which is Ja'Marr Chase, which I think to a certain extent you can trust everybody here. I think that this team showed last week in the game against Miami that, listen, they're going to fight to the end even if it's not cute. Chase Brown's going to get you there. T. Higgins is going to get you there. Ja'Marr Chase is going to get you there. Burrow threw for 304 touchdowns. He got you there. It sucks. It's like my shower thoughts of like, imagine if I told you Kansas City, Detroit, Cincinnati, Baltimore, I mean, you could throw in Tampa, I guess, in there. All these teams were going to be under 500 going into week 17. Tampa, Detroit, Kansas City, and Cincinnati, all under 500 going into week 17. Kind of maniacal. I don't know. I think it's kind of wild. Next game is Seattle at Carolina, the Sam Darnold game of the week. Sam Darnold and the Seattle Seahawks are favored by 7. All the money and all the bets are on the Panthers, the dog. 7.5 point home dog at FanDuel, 7 points at Caesars. But 70% of the bets, 68% of the money on the home dog, Carolina Panthers. The money line is still on Seattle, though. 89% of the bets, money line on Seattle, 77% of the money line money on Seattle, and the 75% of the money is on the over of 43 in that game. Again, you got to remember, this is Sam Darnold going back to Carolina for the first time. This is Seattle sitting in the number one overall spot right now in the NFC. You win this game, you pretty much can lock up the number one seed. You will advance to a 13-3 record with a team that's behind you being the Bears, who are kind of boxed out. But mostly, if you win, you've boxed out your Week 18 opponent, which is the San Francisco 49ers. Interestingly enough, the Niners play the Bears this week. Seattle could all but clinch the number one seed if the Bears beat the Niners this week and Seattle wins. They know what's at stake. Sam Darnold is at stake. Like, he's kind of fighting for an MVP conversation. He's not there, but he's kind of fighting for it. Maybe that's just me having a ticket for him. But Carolina also, like I said, they can lose and still be competing for the NFC South next week, which I think is a safeguard for them. It's not a must win as much as it'd be like, yes, if we win, we clinch this week. But you don't have to. You can go down to Tampa and get your ass kicked too. Just kidding. But I think this will be good. I think you trust everybody in this game. Everybody's going to be shooting their darts. I mean, you're going to trust Dowdle. I think you trust Hubbard a little bit. Teteroa. Past that, I like JSN. The tight end situation in Seattle, I think, is the most interesting. So Barner, we have plugged in right now, tight end 15 on the week. The projections, though, love A.J. Barner this week. They have him all the way up to tight end 11 in the projections. As far as the Seattle backfield goes, with Ken Walker and with Zach Charbonnet, we got Ken Walker at running back 20 and Charbonnet running back 33. And the Carolina side is going to be Rico Dowdle at 25 and then Chuba's down at 38. So again, both these backfields kind of stuff we've been dealing with all year, but I tend to trust both situations to kind of deal with themselves throughout. See if we got any more questions here. Let's get caught up. Not sure if I play Hendo or Ramondre or both even. I trust Ramondre more this week, I'll be honest with you. Matt Cassidy, I appreciate you as well. Just smashes the Isaiah Likely button. One more, Caleb Williams versus Niners or Brisket versus Bengals. I love the Brisket nickname that you've put on him, friends. Maybe one of my favorite of the year. Brisket is quarterback 8, Caleb Williams QB 10, both top 10 matchups. So I like Brisket this week. Honorable mention to Crystal. I like Brisket every week. Top fantasy dudes this year. Yeah, nobody. And I think it's sad, man. He was talking about this week of like, I can't believe I'm thinking about early retirement and like not even close to 30 years old yet. Kyle Williams burden to Shakir? I'm going Kyle Williams. Kyle Williams has gotten minus 4 points per game in returns in my league recently. Is that big enough to bump him up much? Is that minus 4? Bangarang Cody, let's go. Trey Hendo and McBride, let's go, brother. Dowdle Corum Carter, I like Dowdle. Also, game of the week, Bills Eagles, let's hear those thoughts. That's the next game, dog. I mean, it's not really the next game, but this next game, I'm just going to really fly through. All right, you want to see how fast I can do this game? Giants at Raiders, 4:05 Eastern kick. There's two late afternoon games. Two. New York Giants at Las Vegas Raiders. Giants are 2.5 point road favorites in Las Vegas, getting 56% of the bets and 59% of the money. The total in this game is 41.5. Max Crosby is unlikely to play because, well, the team pissed him off. And they sent him home and they said, actually they didn't send him home. They said, you're not going to play this week. And he said, I'm going home. So honestly, Byron hopes he goes to Dallas. I sort of hope he goes to, I don't know where I hope he goes, but that also be interesting, I guess. I don't know. The Raiders are irritating because there's so much talent there, but there's just so much ineptitude in that franchise. Like I said, 2.5 point favorite for the New York Giants in this football game. I trust not a lot in this entire game. We'll just put it that way. If you have somebody in this entire game, it might be a Wandale Robinson who hasn't performed great with Jackson Dart kind of as his head honcho. If you have Tyrann Tracy, I think he's a top 30 play. If you have Ashton Jeanty, he showed us last week in his toughest matchup of the year, he could rush for 100 yards, which shows you what Ashton Jeanty is against Houston. We have him into the top 10 this week. It's a top 5 matchup against the Giants. That's probably the most dependable piece here. So I'll ride with Jeanty kind of as the dependable play in this game. But the Giants' offensive line's been banged up. Andrew Thomas was DNP's all week. John Michael Schmitz was DNP's all week, and Evan Neal was DNP's all week. And the Las Vegas side, like I said, it was Max Crosby, and then Raheem Mostert, the backup behind Jeanty, was also DNP's all week. So I lean in this game, honestly, towards the Raiders, and this is a Giants that are favorite by 2.5 on the road in Vegas. I love Dart, but Dart shouldn't be playing either. They should be like, all right, we know he's our guy. Let's prepare for 2026. This game also has implications for the number one overall pick in the 2026 NFL draft. These are the only two teams in the NFL right now that are 2-13. The Raiders, 2-13, play the Giants this week and the Chiefs next week. The Giants play the Raiders this week and the Cowboys next week. So it's very likely the Giants don't beat the Cowboys next week. If they beat the Raiders this week, they'll be 3-14. If the Raiders win this game, they'll be obviously 3-13 and play Kansas City. They have a chance to beat Kansas City. Kansas City hasn't played. They're not great. The defense is good, but they're not great. I don't know. I'll be interested. I think this game is going to be the one that obviously has the implication. Who is 1-1? You're going to lose this game. You're going to have the 1-1. You're going to get you're going to get Fernando Mendoza if you're the Raiders, or are you going to be the Giants and potentially get to trade this pick away and get some assets that you vastly need to kind of rebuild this whole entire roster? All right, enough of that game, enough of that conversation. The game of the week, the only game that anybody's going to be watching. This thing might have 20 million viewers on Sunday afternoon. Philadelphia Eagles at the Buffalo Bills. Nobody circles the wagon like the 4:25 kickoff, Highmark Stadium, Buffalo Bills. 1 point home favorite for the Buffalo Bills. The bets are 50-50. The money is 59% in favor of the Buffalo Bills. The total in this game is 44.5 with a lean to the over in the money and a lean 51-49 in the bets to the over as well. The implications in this game for the Buffalo Bills are this. The Buffalo Bills are 11-4. The New England Patriots are 12-3. They're trying to win that division. They're trying to get a home playoff game. For the Eagles, they've got that division locked up. It doesn't really matter. What they're fighting for in the NFC playoffs is really just to get to the 2 seed. If they can get they could potentially get to the 2 seed if Chicago loses to San Fran this week and loses to Detroit in week 18. Philadelphia needs to win at Buffalo and again win against Washington, who they beat last week, at home next week. So there's a chance there for Philly to get the number 2 seed despite having a distraught end of November, which with 3 straight losses to Dallas, Chicago, and the Chargers. Maybe the most interesting injury report of the week for Philadelphia was the fact that I didn't read into it. I just saw it on the injury report because that's what I do. Some of these guys I don't really care to read into. A.J. Brown did not practice on Wednesday or Thursday with teeth. Teeth. I don't know what he did. I should have read into it, but it's his teeth. He got a full practice, and so it doesn't really matter. I just thought it was an interesting note. Teeth. But he did get a full practice in on Friday, so we're good. Landon Dickerson and Lane Johnson, both banged up here. Dickerson looks like he's going to play. Got a full practice in on Friday. Obviously, their offensive guard. Lane Johnson is out with a foot injury again. N'Kobe Dean out, their linebacker, with a hamstring injury in this game. And on the Buffalo side, we have Matt Prater, the kicker. So if you have a kicker named Matt Prater, bombs, right? 40-year-old kicking bombs. He's out in this game. Dalton Kincaid got limiteds in all week, as well as Dawson Knox. Both were DNP Wednesday, Thursday, limited in on Friday. They've been dealing with this stuff the last couple of weeks. I expect them to play, unlike Daquan Jones, Jordan Phillips, and Jordan Poyer on the defense for the Buffalo Bills. In this game, for fantasy football purposes, Bumaswak says wisdom teeth. Or Matt Cassidy says he got a new grill. I like that. I like the grill idea more than anything. All right, so the plays this week in this Buffalo and Philadelphia game go like this. James Cook and Saquon Barkley are both top 10 plays for us at Roster Watch Nation, as well as Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts. The matchups are brutal for both of these guys. It's both the Buffalo and Philadelphia defenses are bottom 10 matchups for quarterbacks, for opposing quarterbacks in fantasy football. As far as the wide receivers matchup here, A.J. Brown is going to be a consensus top 5 play, wide receiver 5 overall, in week 17 for team roster watch. Devonta Smith, like I said before, comes in at wide receiver 29. And on the Buffalo side, you have to scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll before you see the first wide receiver, which is Khalil Shakir. Again, this is the second toughest matchup for opposing wide receivers on the roster watch matchup tool for Buffalo playing against Philadelphia. So it's Khalil Shakir, Josh Palmer. All these situations in Buffalo kind of go that direction. At tight end, Goddard we have as the tight end 8 on the week. Again, he's been good the last 4 weeks, but it's the second toughest matchup for opposing tight ends on the slate against the Buffalo Bills. Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox, again, they've been solid. Each one's got an opportunity here. This is the toughest matchup on the slate for opposing tight ends is the Philadelphia Eagles. So Kincaid, Knox, Goddard, all facing a gauntlet of situations at linebacker. The benefit only is that there's been banged up linebackers for both teams for the last month. So all are playable outside of Knox. I don't think Knox is playable. I think Kincaid's playable in certain situations. I would play guys like Barner. I would play Waller. I would play Schultz and Loveland. I'd play Juwan Johnson. As far as Goddard goes, he's a top 10 play. I'd play Strange. I'd play Ferguson. You have those guys. I play Hunter Henry as well. This is going to be a good game, and this is going to be a much better game than the Giants and Raiders at 4:05. So once the noon games get over and you're sitting there having to watch New York and Las Vegas for 20 minutes before Philadelphia Buffalo gets kicked off, just be thankful. Because it's week 17, Christmas is done, New Year's is here, week 17, fantasy football championships are near, and when we turn the page to week 18, it'll be DFS, and then the season's going to be in the rear. I guess you could call me a rhymer, a rapper, a joker, I don't know, but it's just, this is the last week of like all these starters playing. You know how week 18 gets, right? It's all the backups, you're watching, you know, Xavier Scott, you're watching Evan Hull, you're watching these dudes. Yeah, that's fun for the maniacal ones, but the season is over after this week. And then you're off to the playoffs, and we're in rookie talk. Again, lock into rosterwatch.com. We're going to have some rookie write-ups this week. We're going to have some rookie shows this week. Get your Dynasty Tattoo 50 this week. I'm going to start ripping up the show with Trash Man. The show schedule is going to change this upcoming week and into the spring. But we're going to have a show of me and Trash Man talking Dynasty just like we did last summer. We'll get back on the airwaves, hopefully with all three of us, Trash Man, Alex, and myself. But you can still get over everything over at rosterwatch.com, including the props, including the DFS cheat sheets, all the way through the NFL playoffs to help you win in DFS and, of course, in props, because props have been hot, and we're trying to get that thing right back to 60% where it was last year on the season. So we appreciate y'all. We love y'all, and we'll see y'all on the other side. Cody Carpentier, Roster Watch Nation, Week 17 Fantasy Football Championships. Enjoy it. Enjoy it.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.